It's Tuesday, May the 3rd, and welcome to our live broadcast called This and That. And I'm your host, Pastor David Ripley. This is where I get to offer my opinions on the news headlines of the day. This and That airs Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and is rebroadcast Thursdays at 7 p.m. Before we get into today's stories, let me state that the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Grace Christian Fellowship or Grace Christian Radio. Let me begin with the weather for tomorrow, May the 3rd. Well, let me just say something about today's weather. Today is May the 3rd, actually. And we had a wonderful day, a wonderful, warm, sunny day. But tomorrow, May the 4th, considerable cloudiness and plus 19. Well, I have a special guest tonight. Adam Sumbler is away. He's enjoying the first few days of marriage. His wedding, Adam and Sonia, was this past Saturday, and so he's enjoying some time there together. I'm supposed somewhere around this beautiful valley, and we pray a blessing upon them as they've started their new life together. But I have a very special guest, and it's my wife, Gina. Gina, glad to have you on the program tonight.
Hello. Nice to be here and to join you for the first time on this program.
First time. And yes. I don't know how long we've been having this and that. But yes, this is the first time that you've been here on the program. And we're so glad that you're here tonight. I'm sure you're going to have some interesting comments on many of the topics that I will be discussing tonight. Well, let's get into the first one. And I don't think this is going to be a surprise to anyone listening tonight, but a leaked Supreme Court draft opinion written by Justice Samuel Alito indicates that the court may be preparing to strike down the 1973 landmark Roe versus Wade, a decision that made abortion a constitutional right in America, according to Politico. And that report was released yesterday, Monday. On Tuesday, the High Court confirmed the authenticity of the document. The 67-page document labeled first draft of the opinion of the court is a complete rejection of Roe versus Wade and the subsequent 1992 decision of Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which affirmed the right to an abortion. The opinion would effectively eliminate abortion protections on a federal level and return the contentious issue back to the states. Well, you know, that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Sure is.
And I'm sure so many people in the United States of America have been praying for this day to come. And, you know, you wonder, you say to yourself, does prayer work? Well, you know, it does. Over time, prayer produces some tremendous results. And this is possibly one of them. And we're quite excited about it. And we're believing that this decision will come down real soon. U.S. Supreme Court draft opinion revealing that a majority of justices are in favor of striking down the landmark Roe versus Wade abortion rights ruling is putting activists in Canada on high alert. Carolyn Egan is a spokesperson for the Ontario Coalition for Abortion. While strong pro-choice sentiment exists across Canada, she said activists should continue to guard against the potential erosion of abortion rights that might surface as a result of the impending decision in the United States. Any comments on that?
Well, if it's going to go ahead and be positive and we'll be able to overrule this this decision, it's certainly going to make a big difference. And it's going to encourage those who want the freedom to choose, you know, life, that they won't be intimidated. Because I feel like sometimes as a woman, if you say I'm pro-life, then you're saying you're not agreeing to women's right, and you don't believe that women have rights and things like that. So it's intimidating for people. So I think that this would certainly help, and maybe it will influence also here in Canada. They're already on their guards right now because obviously that's not their agenda. But you know what? We have to persevere. We have to keep praying. We have to keep being a voice. And that's one thing that I appreciate about the Christians in the United States is they don't give up. They just keep praying. They keep having a voice. They keep, you know, saying what they believe in. And I think that it's producing some fruit. And I'm hoping that it will influence here in Canada also.
U.S. President Joe Biden said he will fight to preserve. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Do you feel it in your bones tonight? U.S. President Joe Biden said he will fight to preserve access to abortion services. While the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court ordered an investigation after an unprecedented leak suggested that the top court may overturn the 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling that legalized abortion. So here we have the President of the United States, Joe Biden, you know, standing against what may be a decision coming down from the Supreme Court. We don't know when. It could be any day now, any week now. And we here at Grace Christian Radio are excited. We are thrilled that the Supreme Court has finally saw the light. And, you know, we're just hoping that this decision made back in 1973 is going to be overturned.
Yes.
It's going to be overturned. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of speculation as to why this was leaked. You know, why it was leaked, we don't know. But it would appear that somebody thought that by allowing this to get to the press, that somehow the Chief Justice and those conservative Supreme Court judges would be intimidated by that. I pray they won't be, but they will stand true to the truth.
Yes, that's right. And sometimes, like, we don't know the reasons why it got leaked. But if it would have been leaked from the other side, then they would have said, oh, well, that's all good and everything. But now, because it's not going their way, then they're like, oh, yeah, and then and now this is not right. And they're trying to, you know, prosecute the people who, you know, leaked it or whatever. So it's stirring up a lot of boots, and it's a good thing, I think.
I agree. 100%. And, you know, we believe here at Grace Christian Radio that life begins at conception.
Yes.
And it doesn't take very many weeks before the baby begins to form in the womb. Mm-hmm. And it's just an amazing process that God has put together, how life begins and a baby is born. And the whole process needs to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's just amazing how quickly a child is formed, like I said, in the womb, and how that child needs to be protected.
Yes.
And we in Canada need to stand up, and we need to be willing to say what we believe as Christians.
And there's some good organization even here in Canada that support women that might not have planned a pregnancy, but then they're going to support them. They help them, whatever choices they choose after, if they want to adopt or they need help. You know, there's lots of resources. So it's not like we say, oh, just have a baby and, you know, deal with it. No, there's a lot of support there to help women in different situations that are, you know, they're not expecting these pregnancies. So there's a lot of good organization, and we support that. that, even as a church?
Well, I think that the correct term is pregnancy centers.
Yes.
And I think you had the opportunity not too long ago to meet with a young lady that was involved or heading up and managing one of these pregnancy centers. Can you tell us anything about that conversation you had with her?
Well, she was saying that during the pandemic, it actually, the need for, they had so many women reaching out to them because there was a lot of lockdowns and there was a lot of things closed, and women were just reaching out for help and support and resources. So they helped a lot of people. And then the thing that right now that their concern is that our liberal government is trying to take their charitable status from these centers, saying that they're not giving, you know, good resources and misinformations. I don't know where they heard that, but everything is done with respect and with science, you know, the birth of children and how it's formed, and it's covered with love. They just love women in these situations and they want to walk alongside them. So you know, we just need to continue to pray that this will not happen, because obviously it's going to affect them. But at the same time, they said they've had more financial support than ever before since the pandemic. So God will make a way. I think there's enough Christians in Canada to be able to support financially these centers across our country, and without the help of the government.
Well, we wonder what the Liberal regime under Prime Minister Justin Trudeau thinks about this leak that has come from the Supreme Court in the United States. Well, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Deputy Prime Minister Freeland affirmed on Tuesday their support of women's right to choose after a leaked draft ruling suggests the United States Supreme Court is prepared to strike down a landmark decision legalizing abortion. So we pretty much know where the Liberal government, the Liberal regime stands. We know where the NDP stands. I don't even need to think about it. I know that they're right on the heels of the Liberals. And whatever the Liberals say, they pretty much agree with it. You know, they're pretty much in support of a woman's right to choose to have an abortion. The NDP, the Liberals, you know, it's just a sad story when you think about governance in this great country. The Conservatives, well, you know, that's another story. There is a segment of the Conservative Party that is pro-life. And I pray that during this time that they will stand up. I know Lesson Lewis, for sure, is pro-life. And she has brought forth several times in the House that, you know, this sex selection, you know, if you are going to have a boy or you're going to have a girl, and in certain cultural settings, you know, a boy is preferred, then if it's a girl, it can be aborted. You know, she's brought that up to the House. It's been rejected. And so we know there are pro-life MPs in Parliament. We pray that God would give them the strength to stand up in this hour for truth and for the lives of the unborn. Well, we're going to move away from this topic, and we're going to talk about Naomi Judd, who, with daughter Wyona Judd, formed the country duo, the Judds. Well, she's reportedly died by suicide on Saturday after a long battle with mental illness. And I think most of us know the Judds. They've been in movies. They sing. You know, it's always sad when somebody takes their life.
Yes, yes it is.
And it's something that, you know, we as Christians need to pray about when we think about society and the things that people are going through. And now in this situation, apparently she had a long battle with mental illness. And, you know, it's real. People are going through battles. They're going through difficulties. And we as believers need to be reaching out to each other first within the church, and then outside of the church, we need to be ministering to people, because situations arise, people go through tremendous difficulties, and you know, we don't want anyone to take their own life.
That's right. And it's from every walk of life, you know, like they were singers, actors, it could be a dentist, it could be, you know, co-worker. So mental illness is real, and we need to be sensitive and to minister to each one and make sure that people are getting the help and the encouragement that they need.
And the church needs to be the avenue that people can come to the church with difficulties, things that they're struggling with, and receive the help that they need. And we just need to be open to these kind of situations and circumstances. Well, changing gears just a little bit, travelers at Toronto's Pearson International Airport are being asked to pack plenty of patience on Monday as longer than expected lineups and Canada-wide staffing shortages cause delays. And I think all of us have seen on the news the huge, I want to emphasize that, huge lineups. People are desperate to get out of, I was going to say get out of Dodge, but get out of Canada, get away, visit, have a vacation. And yet in going and in coming, there's these huge lineups. They're blaming staffing shortages. Now, I don't know if that's because of the pandemic. I don't know if it's because people have been fired because they've chosen not to take the vaccine. I don't really know. They don't really say. But staffing shortages are a problem nationwide. In all companies, small and big, there are staffing shortages. You know, I saw today on the news that there were actually more jobs available in the States than those looking for jobs. I think it was like 6 million people looking for jobs and 11 to 12 million jobs available. I mean,
so
does
if
that
you want to work, there's jobs.
There's jobs. There's jobs. You know, somebody said that if you need a job, read Job. But, you know, it's kind of a funny statistic when you think about it. You know, 6 million people looking for work and 11 million jobs available. Now, we don't know what kind of jobs are available, but, you know, I've always thought that if you are in a situation and circumstance where you need to pay your bills, you got to just pretty much do whatever you can do in order to make sure you have food on the table.
But I don't know what you think about that. Yeah, but also now, people are were used to working at home, so the comfort of home, they enjoyed it. So some people don't want to go back to their offices or other jobs or whatever. So I guess there's different reasons for it, but very interesting.
Okay, let's talk about something else. A pastor in the United States wins a discrimination case after losing job for warning parents about the dangers of LGBTQ events. He lost his job, but he won it back. He won the discrimination case. And, you know, you kind of wonder about a lot of these things that are happening, especially in the United States. Things, you know, being displayed, and here he's warning about the dangers of certain events. I kind of wonder what that's all about. I mean, you know, what are we showing our kids at a very early age when it comes to these kinds of things? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you know, when they had the pride parades in Toronto, and they still do, a lot of people didn't want to go. And there was a very good reason why some people didn't want to go. It wasn't because they hated homosexuals or anything of that nature. It was because of the flesh and the promiscuity that was being displayed, and they didn't want their kids to see that.
It's interesting how that pastor, all he was doing is giving a warning. It's not like he was, you know, stopping people and, you know, grabbing them or whatever. So I'm glad that he got his job back, because we should be able to warn people of things. We should have that liberty.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A report from a school district in America teaches pre-kindergarten through the third grade students to break the binary and reject whiteness. I guess there's this kind of white guilt like a tide, you know, coming in across Canada and the United States, that if you're white, you should feel guilty about something. I just question a lot of this. I really question it. I agree that minorities need to have rights in whatever, but, you know, how can you reject who you really are? I mean, that's who you are, right? You're Caucasian. That's how, you know, you were born that way. And now there's this great guilt trip being laid upon anyone that's Caucasian. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, like you were saying, I think that how you're born and whatever race you are, you should embrace that. And every race is equal. So we're
absolutely.
All, yeah.
So. Absolutely. Now, I know that you have some articles you'd like to share tonight.
Yes.
So we're going to begin with what?
Well, I have some news from the Global Religious Freedom, and they were sharing about this grandmother arrested for prayer walking. So this grandmother arrested for prayer walking. So Rosa is a 76-year-old grandmother, was arrested while walking and praying during a COVID-19 lockdown in February 2021, and that's in the UK. And due to the court backlogs, she's still awaiting trial. But during the first lockdown, she diligently followed the rules, took walks during her period of exercise every day, and while she was walking, she was praying silently in the privacy of her own mind with headphones on. Now listen. She walked near an abortion clinic as she prayed about the issue that was on her mind. She was masked, socially distant, alone, and silent. But then a policeman stopped her and asked her why she was out of her house at a time where reasons to be outside were very limited. She said, "I'm walking and praying." But Rosa wasn't praying in a place of worship, the policeman explained, before arresting her. Can you believe it? She was there to protest, he said later when the fine was issued. She didn't have a reasonable excuse to be outdoors. Can you believe this?
You know, some of the tickets that have been issued are beyond belief. I mean, really, and many of them are not even going through the courts. I mean, they're just being thrown out. The ticket that we received as a church, it's been a year, almost a year and a half. We've heard nothing, absolutely nothing. This story tells me that, you know, in many cases, tickets were given to people for no good reason. No one thinking in their right mind would give someone like that a ticket.
Mm-hmm. I know. And also, I don't know if you want me to give a report about this pastor in Ukraine. So this just came in a few days ago. So this is a pastor who ministers in Ukraine. And he reports about what he has just witnessed in the villages he has been visiting. He spoke of the man who has been unable to speak and only used his hands to relay what he had witnessed. He describes the events as follows. The Russian soldiers gathered up a group of children in the village. Then they hit them and told them to quickly run away. When the children had reached a certain distance between them and the soldiers aimed their rifles and made target practice of the children. Some were shot in the legs and others in the back. He didn't say if any had survived. Now this, you won't hear that kind of news in the mainstream media, but this pastor's there and they're witnessing these stories. And this is another one here, another man who was helping two young girls escape safely just after they watched their parents die, was also shot and killed. Every time that pastor entered a new area in a village, they discover dead bodies. Many have died of dehydration and starvation. Others have been shot. And there have also been many reports of people being burned and instances of rape of women and children. We were told of how the Russian soldiers even killed all the farm animals to cut off the food supply. They lit barns on fire with all the animals locked inside while the locals pleaded with them to let the animals go free. And this pastor and his volunteers make regular trips into these villages, and we're talking about Ukraine, and it is extremely dangerous. And the Russian soldiers left thousands of mines in the villages. They hid them everywhere, including in boxes of baby food. And this pastor also told us he has only seen another local group, a church group, working in the villages that were previously occupied. He said it was just too dangerous. But the need is great, with thousands of people affected. And this pastor and his co-workers are willing to risk their lives to bring food, water, a Bible, a hug, and a prayer to those in greatest needs. But I'd like to share this story. Obviously, what we just heard is horrible, and it's unbelievable, and it's unimaginable. But this story has a good ending to it. So let me just share a little bit here what this pastor and these workers are doing. So the pastor has a small van with enough supplies for 50 people. And after distributing the food, water, and toiletries, they begin to preach the gospel. Then they hand out Bibles and invite people to come to a worship service later that day. Nearly everyone, that's incredible, who receives help, including the soldiers, Ukrainian soldiers, come back for the worship service. So they didn't just grab all the stuff that was for free. They come back to go to the worship service. And this pastor shares, he said, "I have been ministering for over 25 years, and I have never seen so many people, including soldiers, with such open hearts." This pastor told us the people are in shock. All have lost family members and witnessed suffering beyond belief. They have lost everything and all hope is gone. And when we tell them Jesus is their hope, their hearts are open and they pray and sing with us. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. That's incredible.
What God is doing in the midst of this horrible situation, where people are receiving hope in Christ Jesus, because that's the only answer, that's for sure.
You know, I think a lot of these Russian soldiers don't even know why they're there. They've been sent in to do a job, and they don't really comprehend or fully understand exactly what's happening. You know, there's a lot of suffering going on, not only in Ukraine, but in Russia as well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of suffering going on. This is an opportunity for God to do his work in people's lives.
That's
in the
right.
midst of such difficulty, the Holy Spirit is present to minister to people's needs. Father, we just want to pause right now, and we want to pray for the people of Ukraine.
Yes, Lord.
We want to pray for the people of Russia, Lord. There's so much difficulty and hardship that's going on right now. So many people that are dying. Lord, we just pray that in the midst of it, the church would rise up, both in Russia and in Ukraine.
Yes,
the true church, the church of the living God, would rise up and, Lord, be the healing balm of Gilead to those that are going through so many difficulties, such pain, Lord.
Yes.
So, Father, we just want to lift them up to you tonight in the name of Jesus, that you would intervene in many of these situations and circumstances.
Yes.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Did you want to say anything about India?
Yes, I'd like to share another news about India. And this is from the Voice of the Martyrs. And this is the question that the Christians ask themselves. Does an informant live in my village? That's a question many Christians in India might consider as they walk to church or meet with other followers of Christ in their home. Informants for the Hindu nationalist organization live in nearly every village in India. They watch for and report on the activities of Christians, often leading to attacks by large groups of Hindus. When Christians are attacked, many of them decline to press charges as a way of showing forgiveness to their attackers. Hindu extremists have demolished, burned churches in India, disrupted worship gatherings, vandalized crosses in graveyards, and confiscated Bibles and other Christian literature. In addition, they have beaten, jailed many pastors, some of whom are martyred each year. Christians are arrested and detained for up to 3 weeks after being falsely accused of forcing Hindus to convert to Christianity. When they have access to legal assistance, Christians are often able to post bail or show that the charges are unfounded. So the Voice of the Martyrs respond to persecution incidents and supports persecuted pastors and their families, as well as other frontline workers. So this is a reality of, you know, like I said, we don't hear that on mainstream media. But, you know, Christianity is the number one religion that's persecuted worldwide.
And so are you saying that in this situation that Christians are being forced to convert to Hinduism? Is that what you're saying?
That's what they're accused of. But obviously that's not true, you know. So they're just trying to, you know, stop Hindus from converting to Christianity. And I think that's why, because of the government. And maybe you can explain a little bit more.
Well, I mean, Prime Minister Modi wants to make India a Hindu state. I mean, I've even heard Indians say that they want to change the name from India to Hindustan. So, you know, there's this great move to make the nation of India completely Hindu. And so any minorities, whether they be Christian or Muslim, are under attack, especially Christians are under attack. Many missionaries that are there to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are being hindered and oppressed in many ways. Sending missionaries to India from Canada now has become very difficult, sometimes impossible. Funds are being monitored in many ways. And so this is a matter of prayer when it comes to what is supposed to be a democracy. India is supposed to be a democracy. Mm-hmm. You know, allowing whether they're Christians or Muslims or Hindus to live at peace and to follow whatever they want, you know, whatever they choose.
Can you imagine going to church or fellowshipping with other believers and then always wondering, oh, is he a spy? Is he an informant that's going to, you know?
You know what? That day is going to come here in Canada where, you know, people are going to betray their friends and their family. You know, sometimes that has happened even when we talk about COVID, that has happened. So, you know, someone has a Bible study somewhere in their home or whatever, neighbors tell on them. So, you know, this kind of situation and circumstance is happening, has happened, and probably will continue to happen across our country. Mm-hmm. Anything else you'd like to share tonight?
No, well, I think these are all things that tonight that we shared about, you know, the Christians, and that we have to remember to pray for them, and that that God will strengthen them and give them provisions that they need and strength, and that their faith will not be shaken in the midst of persecution.
Gina, it's been wonderful to have you here tonight, and I'm sure everyone that's listening, whether it's tonight or Thursday night, they're going to say, I know they're going to say, is there any way that we can have you come back on the program? So we are going to invite you back for sure. But I want to read a couple of scriptures from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And I want to read verse 7 and 8. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear. God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And those are two very powerful verses. Well, this is Pastor David Ripley, believe it or not, signing off. Have a blessed evening.